Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just getting rolling here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 8:45. Caps hockey coming up on the Fan immediately following myself. We'll get back to the Washington Commanders here in a second, and I will address the idiocy that has been in my mentions from some of the Burgundy and Gold faithful, and I know you all are emotional right now. I understand, right? About 48 hours removed from a very difficult loss, a gut-wrenching loss, depending on how you put it. As I said in the opening segment, to me, while it's okay to look ahead and okay to look forward, I still have a sour taste in my mouth about how Sunday finished. For a team that has preached ballless life all year long to come out and have 4 turnovers in the most important game of the season is tough for me. It just is. And hearing the fellas yesterday at Locker Cleanout Day, it was tough for me to kind of put my emotions to the side and give a rat's ass about what they were talking about, because I feel like they left a lot of meat on the bone Sunday. You know, I don't want to have revisionist history, but what happens if Austin Ekeler doesn't fumble down 34-23? The world may never know. The world may never know. I will address the Commanders Twitter stuff that I was talking about a moment ago, but I just gotta continue to let it all out. I'm trying to breathe here. Because despite what all of us think, I don't even want to say us because I don't feel that way. Despite what a lot of you think, there is no guarantee, and I'm just being real here, there is no guarantee Washington ever gets back. Let's just be honest about it. It is so difficult in the National Football League to have things break your way for an entire season. And that is what happened for the 2024 Washington Commanders. Speaking of Commanders Twitter, see my guy Eric Bickle catching a whole lot of crap online for calling the season a fluke. Now, look. Eric Bickle says a lot of things. And this comment in particular, to me at least, I actually understood where he was coming from. There was a lot that went this team's way in 2024. And to expect that to be replicated again next year would be a pipe dream. So when he uses the word fluke, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say it was taken out of context, but Hail Mary, Malik Nabers, rookie leader for receptions, just drops the football in week number 2 against the Giants. You rattled off 7 in a row on the last play of the game. I mean, it just doesn't happen. So for him to call it a fluke, I get where he's coming from. But this is what I don't get about Washington Commanders Twitter. And we got the news about an hour ago that Cliff Kingsbury was going to stay here in D.C. Everybody should be happy about that. You know who else is staying in D.C. as a coordinator as well? Joe Witt Jr. And some of the folks in my mentions cannot stand the fact that he is returning, and I don't understand why. I said it back in May when I first got the chance to lay my eyes on this group up close in person, boots on the ground, as I like to say, right? Joe Witt Jr. is what you call a connector. He is a connector of men on both sides of the football. There is a reason teams, I guess it was just the New York Jets, wanted to interview him for a head coaching job. He is a man's man and a leader's leader. In a day and age where the sexy head coaching candidate is a whiz kid offensive hotshot, Joe Witt Jr. come from the old school, as I like to call it. The school of hard knock. Go hard or go home. And say what you want about the shortcomings of the 2024 Washington Commanders defense. They were a unit that improved clearly if you watched. Every week of the season, they got better at something. And ultimately, they're undoing, as I said multiple times throughout the season, you all hated me for it, their ultimate undoing was going to be their inability to stop the run. Why can't they stop the run? That's what I think you all want to get into. Why can't we stop the run? We got the highest paid defensive tackle duo in the National Football League in Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne. We got a Hall of Fame linebacker in Bobby Wagner. We got another weak side linebacker in Frankie Louvu that was getting all pro votes. So why can't we stop the run? It's a good question. It's a good question. One that I don't have the answer to. And let me let you in on something. If I did, I wouldn't be sitting in this chair. How about that? But for all of the shortcomings they had against the run, one thing that was very clear about this defense, through hell or high water, by hook or by crook, they're going to run and hit the hell out of you. All 11 guys fly to the football. And I don't know if you all can agree with me with this. It was refreshing to see that type of effort. Here I am using the E word, effort. It's refreshing to see that type of effort from a defense when last year I had to watch 99 jog around like he had cement in his ankles, in his cleats.
You and I were sitting here, I believe it was Thanksgiving of 2 years ago.
Yes.
And I made the comment. I was like, when are we going to start doing exactly what Dallas is doing to us? When are we going to strip the ball?
You know?
When are we going to punch it out? When are we going to create turnovers?
When are we going to give a damn on that side of the ball? Because let's just be real. They look like a group under MAGA Jack. Wink, wink. That didn't care. Seriously. They look like a group that was uninspired defensively the past couple of seasons. So, yes, despite the shortcomings that they had against the run this year, despite them leading the postseason in yards per play given up, they clearly were an improved group. And my message from the top of the show remains the same. They have to maximize Jaden Daniels on the rookie contract. How do you do that? You do that by improving the offense, and you do that by adding real deal horses on the defensive side of the football. And that's what I think ultimately is the problem with the defense. They don't have the bodies to be a top 10 unit. See, on the defensive side of the football, in today's day and age, the NFL, it's so hard to stop opposing offenses because all the rules are tailored towards them. You have to make a decision when you are talent deficient. You can't stop everything. You're going to have to concede something. And as I told you all a couple of weeks ago, right before the playoffs started, what they were willing to give up was 5 and 6 yards a pop on the ground. What they weren't willing to give up, and to their credit, phone lines are open. You can call in or tweet at me if you saw this. Maybe I'm missing it. The one thing they weren't willing to concede was giving up the deep ball through the air. And damn it, they didn't do that. Okay, against Cincinnati, you saw it happen. It's Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. Give me a break. The one unacceptable deep ball and deep shot that they gave up to me was Mike Williams against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was ready to rock 'em, sock 'em, robot Denton Day here in studio. Just cause. Shout out my guy Denton Day. But you get what I'm saying. They didn't have the horses to stop the run. So they said, you know what? We're going to play bend but don't break football and let teams pretty much do what they want in between the 20s. One thing about the Washington Commanders' red zone defense, it's a lot better this year than it was last year. So for all of you that are calling for Joe Witt's job on social media, find something better to do. For those of you that were angry and upset with Joe Witt because I saw people tweet, oh, the schemes weren't good. I mean, his scheme was terrible. What scheme were you going to run? Huh? What scheme were you going to run?
Name the scheme he was using, first
Commander Jinbao is what one guy tweets at me. That's what his name is. Commander Jinbao. What scheme were you going to run? Wise guy? That's what frustrates me. And I can live with Joe Witt Jr. as my defensive coordinator. You could do a hell of a lot worse. And I think if you talk to folks in that building, in that organization, players, coaches, he is the type of cat that brings the best out of everyone. So, while it wasn't perfect from Joe Witt Jr., it isn't as bad as some folks are making it seem like online. If you want to chime in on the defensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders, Joe Witt Jr., phone lines are open. Kevin, Brandon, Manny, Boston, we see you on the line. 1-800-636-1067. Joe Witt Jr. to me is the least of this team's problems. Seriously. Joe Witt Jr. is the least of this team's problems. They have a personnel issue. And that is why Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, the scouts, that's why they're in Mobile right now at the Senior Bowl. Speaking of the Senior Bowl, our guy Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network going to join us at about 8:15 live from Mobile to talk about some of the standouts from the first week of the Senior Bowl and some guys that Washington could potentially be targeting with that number 29 overall pick. Anyone that's upset about the way the season finished, and I'm talking to myself partially when I say this, because like I said, there is somewhat of a cloud that sits over my head. Anyone that was upset, right? You're picking 29th this year. Where were you picking last year? Enough. Enough said, right? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I'll tell you the biggest issue for the Washington Commanders defense on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Fan. Phone lines locked and loaded here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 8:45. Caps hockey coming up after myself. Speaking of the good guys, had the 6-game win streak snap the other night, but the good news that we got yesterday, Logan Thompson putting pen to paper as he has just been a godsend for the Caps. Since coming over from Vegas this summer, we will see if the boys got it tonight, man. They're in Calgary as they wrap up their little road trip. Make sure you keep it locked right here on the Fan all night. John Walton, Ken Sabourin on the call for you tonight. Right now, we're talking all things Burgundy and Gold. Speaking of the Burgundy and Gold, with the season ending yesterday, or 2 days ago, rather, we got to start taking a look ahead. And we get to that point in the offseason where you got to start looking at the draft. Our guy Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network going to join us live from Mobile out at the Senior Bowl a little bit later on in the program. But right now, I want to look at this Commanders defense because, for whatever reason, my mentions are on fire, talky hot, about Joe Witt Jr. And a lot of blame from the fan base, from what I'm gathering, a lot of you all are putting the blame, the shortcomings of the defense, rather, at his feet. Is it fair? 1-800-636-1067. And what is the biggest issue for this Washington Commanders defense? Let's look at the numbers here for a little bit before we get to the phones. Last year, Washington was ranked 32nd. That is dead last in the National Football League in terms of opponents' points per game. This year, Washington, in that same exact category with more talent, I would say. There is a caveat to this, right? Washington is improved talent-wise on that side of the football. They jumped from 32nd to 22nd. And some of you are going to roll your eyes and say, see, they're still bottom third of the league almost. That's a seismic jump when you think about how bad this defense was last year. Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice, that was the starting cornerback duo. They gave up the most passing touchdowns in the history of the National Football League. So can we have some context added to this defensive discussion when we talk about why Washington came up short? Now, I get it, right? the run defense to me is the big issue. Washington this year, right? And if we're looking for places to give credit, right? Opponent passing yards per game. Washington finished fifth in the entire National Football League in opponent passing yards per game. You want to take a guess as to where they finished last year? Dead last. They jumped 27 spots in terms of pass defense. And we're sitting here calling for the defensive coordinator's job? Not this guy. You can miss me with that. But I will say this, right? I'm not going to sit here and excuse the run defense being bad. It's hard for me to wrap my head around it. You have the highest paid defensive tackle duo in the sport. You got a Hall of Fame linebacker in Bobby Wagner, an all-pro, a fringe all-pro in Frankie Louvu, and yet this team still couldn't stop the run. You know a big reason why they couldn't stop the run? They did not have a three-down defensive end on this team. They didn't get consistency out of any three-down defensive end on this team. We're going to talk about what free agents we want to bring back as the show rolls on. Dante Fowler, 10.5 sacks during the regular season. You notice against Philadelphia, his snap count was one of the lowest of the season because he can't play against certain teams because he can't set the edge. A big reason that Washington's defense struggled to stop the run is because they couldn't set an edge all year long. So when we're talking about the glaring needs of this Commanders defense, right at the top of that list is, I don't want to have it be something specific because it's not just an edge setter. I need someone that's going to be consistently disruptive up front. That was not John Allen. That was not Daron Payne. That was not Dorrance Armstrong. That was not Johnny Newton. They need a disruptor up front. And I know Andrew Berry came out today and said, no, we're not trading Myles Garrett. The hell with that.
Yeah.
If I'm Myles Garrett, force your way out of there.
I got three names for you.
Give me them.
Myles Garrett,
mm-hmm.
Max Crosby,
mm-hmm.
Micah Parsons.
The last two sound like a real possibility, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Micah Parsons can't keep the burgundy and gold out of his mouth.
He can't. He loves his divisional opponents.
He loves him some Dan Quinn. And I understand that. It speaks to the type of man DQ is. And don't forget, guess who else is here working with the D-line that was working with Micah last year? Sharif Floyd. So, look, they got to add some horses up front. But when you look at the Commanders' defensive struggles this year, I just want to ask you on the phones, because Twitter is a cesspool. Hopefully you all are smarter on the phones. What to you was the biggest issue with the Commanders' defense this year, and how much blame falls at the feet of defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr.? Let's go to Kevin in Virginia. What's up, Kev?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, Witt did the most he could with what he had in terms of personnel, but I'm going to be contradictory, and I really think they have to take care of the left tackle position. And there are some guys in the draft, if they're there, a Will Campbell from LSU, who's a friend of Jaden's, is a stud.
He's a guard.
Josh Simmons from OSU is a stud. If you lock down that position for the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to have – he's going to maximize his quarterback play. Then I would go – you're going to disagree with this, but I would go to cornerback and try to get another lockdown quarterback and cornerback and put Sandra still in the slot because I think that's where he excels. I don't think he could handle corner going forward the way that we need a cornerback. Those would be my first two choices.
Yeah.
And then try to draft or sign Wagner's replacement. Those are the first moves that I would do. I know it's not an edge. And maybe they can go to free agency for that.
Okay, so
I really think that left tackle needs to be taken care of.
Kevin, I hear you all the way on left tackle. It's tough because Brandon Coleman's grade for his rookie season, to me, is incomplete. He played really well before he got hurt, and then he had to gut it out and be a warrior down the stretch. And he's going up against some of the premier pass rushers in the National Football League. So I hear you on finding an upgrade at left tackle. The corner thing to me is interesting, Kevin, and I appreciate your call. We'll follow up off air. The corner thing is interesting to me because we'll continue to talk about this Commanders defense as we roll throughout the 7 o'clock hour. Right now, Joe Witt Jr. Is on the altar right now, and you all are, you know, people are upset about Joe Witt Jr. for whatever reason. And I can't say for whatever reason because I guess I get it. He's the leader of that unit, and they kind of – They kind of struggled to stop the run. But that's not on him. And another thing that I want to address from the fans, and I couldn't believe that I'm spending so much time addressing some of your thoughts on social media, because like I say, sometimes this fan base proves itself to have just the lowest football IQ. I mean, the lowest of lows. Marshawn Lattimore is getting a lot of crap. He went up against A.J. Brown on Sunday. Do you all understand how good A.J. Brown is? Now, I get it. Adam Peters gave up draft capital to go get this dude, former All-Pro, Pro Bowler, you name it. You know what helps a secondary and corners in particular? A consistent pass rush, something that Washington simply did not have. And you can throw Dante Fowler's 10.5 sacks out of the window. No disrespect to Dante Fowler. It may have been the quietest 10.5 sack season I've ever seen in my life. In terms of just down in, down out consistency being a disruptor. You can't tell me you felt him drive in, drive out. That's what this group needs. A war daddy up front. Someone that commands two sets of hands being put on him. On the perimeter. Because you know what that would allow? Maybe John Allen and Deron Payne get singled up a little bit more. Maybe you're able to really get creative up front with your schemes. I've blabbed enough. I'll take it back to you. 1-800-636-1067. Brandon is in Lanham. Brandon, your number one issue with the Commanders' defense, and how much blame are you putting at the feet of the defensive coordinator, Joe Witt Jr.?
I'm not putting any blame. Well, I can't say I'm not going to put any blame.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, good evening.
Good evening, Brandon. What's going on, brother, man?
Yeah, what's up, bro? I'm not going to put any blame on Joe Witt right now, but I can put some, but it's not worth really mentioning. So I call in to say my biggest problem with the defense is we all know the run defense.
Yes.
I believe not just the edge position, like edge rusher, but my edges are very vulnerable in this defense for some reason.
Because we don't have a real defensive edges, end.
Yeah, so but hold on. When I'm talking edges, I'm saying from that position all the way to the boundary, to the sideline.
The corners.
Like my corner's not getting off of blocks.
Yep.
My safety's not coming down in proper run fits. My linebacker not getting sideline to sideline. You know what I mean? Like,
I hear you.
Bobby is great, but I need more.
Yeah.
I need faster.
Yep.
The reason is if you look at the run defense, it's a lot of edge rushes. You're not running too much up the middle, and when they do, it's always a duo on John or Payne.
Yep.
My problem with one of them two, whichever one doesn't have the duo, why are you not beating your man?
Yeah.
Because you're singled up at that point. So that's just my thought process, and I can use this as an example. Go back to week 16, Saquon was ripping us in the first half.
Yep. Off the edge.
People ask me, what was the adjustment? I said the adjustment was the will to beat your man. That's all it was. We didn't load the box. We didn't do none of that crap. We went out there in the second half of that game and just beat the man in front of you. Made tackles in the backfield. Got a couple sacks. Things of that nature. So it can be done. But you got to have that will to command the championship in Washington, D.C.
For
and
sure.
Now I land, brother. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Brandon, I appreciate you as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will continue to discuss the defense. Bobby Wagner, an unrestricted free agent. How inclined am I to bring him back next year? I'll tell you on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. This is The Fan. 1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. It is overtime. We'll take you up to 8:45. Caps hockey coming up after myself. Talking about the Commanders' defense right now. One, your biggest issue with the Commanders' defense. And then two, how much blame is fair to put at the feet of defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr.? We're taking your calls on that. I want to look at some of the defensive improvements here for a second before we go back out to the phones. Third down defense, I mentioned, in 2023, Washington was ranked 26th in the National Football League. I remember last year so many different times pulling my hair out because this defense couldn't get off the field on third down. They went from 26th last year to 16th this year. So a sizable improvement on that side of the football. You got to give it up to Joe Witt Jr. for that. That matters. That matters. There's gradual improvement being made. And let's just be real. I still am not a fan of the personnel Washington has on the defensive side of the football. Brings me to this. Bobby Wagner is set to be an unrestricted free agent. Bobby Wagner had a hell of a year, right? 100-plus tackles. The communication on the defensive side of the football. He was like the quarterback on that side of the ball. And he deserves a ton of credit for Washington not giving up big plays. Because he was a big voice in terms of making checks, communicating coverage switches, and things of that nature. And then his leadership off the field, the intangible stuff, is invaluable. But at what point, and I think it was David, I don't know who asked it yesterday. Let me not give credit to someone that didn't ask it. But someone of our on the beat yesterday asked the question of, like, how do you strike that balance of trying to continue to rectify your culture and bring in culture-setting guys versus bringing in guys that are going to actually help you improve right away? We got to have that question in conversation with Bobby Wagner. I was on his ass to start the season. Tampa Bay, he didn't play well at all. The Giants game, he didn't play well at all. It took Bobby Wagner some time to get going. I think we saw it on Sunday against Philadelphia. That Saquon Barkley touchdown. Now, one, Dante Fowler gets blown off the football, tries to do a spin move, and then he trips. Bobby Wagner ends up tripping over him. But how many times this year was Bobby Wagner slow scraping over the top to make a tackle? A lot. Now, when he's coming downhill as a blitzer, he's shooting gaps, there's not many better than him in the National Football League. But from a speed perspective, from a scraping perspective, he's got to be better. And let's just be real. He's only getting older. So to assume he's going to be marketably better next year, I don't know if that's a fair assumption. So while I am in favor of bringing Bobby Wagner back, I do think his role may need to be diminished just a little bit. Not as many snaps for Bobby Wagner is probably better for this Commanders defense. Now, another part of this whole equation is this. I know we didn't get to see it a ton because he was hurt. Jordan McGee's a badass. Jordan McGee is shot out of a cannon.
The reports coming out of camp, like, ooh, he was flying from what I heard.
A heat-seeking missile.
Yeah.
A heat-seeking missile, Max. Like,
give him those snaps, man. If he can stay healthy, give him those snaps.
You saw when he came back, though, right? What did you see more of? The three linebacker look.
Mm-hmm.
When he was healthy.
Yep.
When he wasn't, it's tough because, no offense, there's not a lot of faith in Mykel Walker. Dominic Campton, who I was, and I know Chris Russell, if he's listening right now, is laughing his ass off. I left OTAs and mandatory minicamp thinking Dom Hampton was going to be the Dom linebacker. I'm thinking he was going to play every third down. He was inactive as many times as I was this year. He was active, rather, as many times as I was this year. So, maybe he is able to improve over this offseason, let the body physically mature a little bit more. But linebacker, you can stand to upgrade at, man. And I think if you add two of them, you add two good ones, then you're really cooking with gas. Because let's just be real. I think every snap that Frankie Louvu wasn't rushing the passer and playing on the edge, I don't think you're maximizing his value. He could be Micah Parsons. I know people are going to say, whoa, slow down, big fella. I probably do need to slow down. I probably do need to slow down.
He's a great blitzer. He doesn't, like, dice up a tackle.
He had a couple of spin moves this year. That spin move he's got is lethal. But you get what I'm saying here. I think if you upgrade at linebacker, it allows you to be more multiple and flexible with your personnel on defense. The other cat I want to have a conversation about on this defense is Johnny Newton. And Max, I heard you talking to a caller, screening a call about Johnny Newton. If there was one move that I'm going to criticize Adam Peters for, it was drafting Johnny Newton. And hindsight is 20/20. But Max, you've worked with me enough. I was calling for Kamari Lassiter, man. and he went out and was the best rookie defensive back this year. Him and Derek Stingley.
Very good.
Him and Derek Stingley, to me now, Max, make up the best corner duo of football.
Listen, that was one of the reasons I thought the Texans could win that game against the Chiefs a couple weeks ago.
Because they had the horses.
Their corners are just so locked down.
So, Johnny Newton to me was a C+, B- this year. And I'm being nice. Because he just wasn't very consistent. Now, one thing that you mentioned, Max, and this is why you're a super producer, my friend. The defensive tackle position.
It's hard.
It's hard, especially when you were hurt during camp.
Mm-hmm. Double foot surgery.
Double. He was the walking wounded. Yeah. When you think about what you need at that position, you need somebody that's got strength and girth that can anchor. He simply, to me, wasn't physically mature enough to play the volume of snaps he played.
That's why I need him just a little bit more time in an NFL weight room, and that's I think he'll be good.
I mean, he's built like a damn fire hydrant.
Yeah.
So, like, you take the good with the bad with him, but when you already have the highest paid defensive tackle duo, how much sense does it make to draft another one?
Well, when you plan on getting rid of two of them in the offseason.
Well, that's another conversation, because the way John Allen played down the stretch, I'm all for running it back with John Allen. 1-800-636-1067. Your biggest issue with the Commanders' defense, and then how much blame falls at the feet of Joe Witt Jr.? You could also chime in as to whether or not you would bring Bobby Wagner back. My official vote is yes, but I am looking for him to be back in a reduced role. Manny's in Southeast, and I will not hang up on you until you're finished.
I'm just trying, because our last time you hung up on me, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to keep, because I was on one, then you got me back. You kept talking, I kept listening, and you got me back.
Okay.
One thing that I want you not to ever do is mention the Junks and the Redskins. It's only one Redskin fan. The rest of them, every week they pick the next team. They look for the other whatever's bad in our team. Don't mention them. You're a little better than them, so I'm going to go ahead and give you a pass. But ultimately, not only does the defense fall on Joe Witt, it falls on Dan Quinn, because they're both defensive coordinators. But with that being said, my thing about Joe Witt, every time you come out and say something out your mouth, the next game we play, your defense is trash. He came out with the body, we arriving violently, and they ran all over us.
Well, hold on, Manny. And I'll let you finish, Manny. But I got on Joe Witt Jr. too for the arriving violently and all that. You have
let
to admit,
finish.
Though, Manny, as the season
finish.
Progressed,
let me finish.
They ran
let
a hit
finish.
Better. Go ahead.
Let me finish. Okay. The arriving violently, then the take he had on if they won Hurts, we going to hit him like he's a running back. We don't got to say that, because everybody this year ran on us. Not only did they run on us, they ran on Dallas last year. Green Bay ran them out the playoffs.
Now that's...
Let me get to where I'm going now. Nothing has changed. I'm not mad because we have a put-together team 1 year. This is why I'm not mad at them. My thing is, we ain't got to talk about it. That's been our Achilles heel all year. Think about it. We don't have a consistent rush, and we can't stop the run, but our D-backs are still ranked fifth. Huh? How is that? Usually that happens when you have a consistent rush. Yeah. Our D-backs were still ranked fifth. Now, think about that now.
I hear you.
Only games that we lost really because they ran all over us, like the last one. Now, I'm not going to give that whole game to the defense because we have four fumbles and one interception. We're going to give that man an interception because he threw it.
Yep.
But we have four fumbles. That gave them short field. We're playing Philly. They scored 28 points off of five turnovers. They won by 23. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, we can't give them. This is what's – now, I was at you because you're only 27. I was going to give you the Commanders Redskins view that I got and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But you came back. You brought me back. You brought my spirit back. But with that being said, you got to understand, we have four fumbles.
I know. Manny, you can't win that way, brother. You know that.
You can't.
Especially in the postseason when you're going up against a team as talented as Philly.
Yeah, we had five turnovers against them last time, but guess what? That was
Let me tell you what that was, Manny, and I'm going to let you go, brother, because we're up against the clock. You know, I appreciate you as always. That's what you call having a horseshoe up your ass. Point blank.
Right.
And I appreciate the call, brother. What Manny is getting at, and I think he makes a great point, is it a schematic thing with this Commanders run defense? Because he makes a valid point. In Dallas, they couldn't stop the run. But here's the thing that we don't talk about enough about Dallas's run defense. They drafted Mozzie Smith in the first round out of the University of Michigan with the thought that he was going to be the guy to be stout at the point of attack in the middle of their defense. He wasn't. Dallas was too light up front in their front seven, linebackers included. They were playing converted safeties at linebacker. That's why they couldn't stop the run at Dallas, in my opinion. I didn't think they had the personnel. Here they, you can make the argument that they have the personnel, but at edge they don't. That's why it's a very nuanced conversation, man. And we'll continue to take your calls on it. 1-800-636-1067. Lines are full, so if you're getting the busy signal, keep chiming in. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll continue to run through your calls. Plus, we'll also look at the edge rusher spot for the Washington Commanders and how big of a need is it for this Commanders defense. That's next on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM at National Harbor Lister Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Taking you up to 8:45 here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. Caps hockey coming up on the other side of myself. Fellas in Calgary looking to get back to their winning ways. They had their six-game winning streak snapped over the weekend against Vancouver. We'll see if the fellas can get back to their winning ways tonight. If you missed the news yesterday, Caps tender Logan Thompson signed to a six-year extension worth north of $34.5 million.
Incredible deal.
Incredible deal for a guy that has been one of the best tenders in the National Hockey League for the past five seasons, really. If you go back, man, I was looking at some of the numbers today terms of where he ranks in save percentage and goals allowed per contest. So a real coup for the Caps. You get to see him in action tonight as they take on the Calgary Flames. John Walton, Ken Sabourin on the call right here on The Fan. Coming up at about 8:20, we'll go live out to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Our pal Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network going to give us the standouts from week one of the Senior Bowl, or day one, rather, of the Senior Bowl practices. And we'll also talk about some potential targets for the Commanders in the draft as they pick 29th this year. That's the thing about all of this. They're picking 29th. So as reactionary as we want to be, as frustrated as we want to be, we've got to keep that perspective. But let's get back to the defense. Washington couldn't stop a runny faucet in the run game on the defensive side of the football. They couldn't stop the common cold on the ground. How much of that is on defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr.? How much is that on a lack of personnel because it is year one of a rebuild? I would say this. I think there's a little bit of both. I will be honest with you. What I want you to give me when we take your calls on the phones is, one, your biggest issue with the Commanders' defense. Two, how much of it is Joe Witt Jr.'s fault? And then three, are you bringing back Bobby Wagner? Now, I said yes, I would bring him back, but it's got to be in a reduced role. As infatuated as you all are with him as a man and a person, he's tremendous. Future Hall of Famer, all of that. There were times where he hurt this Commanders' defense this year in the run game. There was times where he was a liability in the run game because he simply is just too long in the tooth to be playing the volume of snaps that he played this year. That's no slight to Bobby Wagner. Father Time catches up to everybody but LeBron James. Everybody but LeBron James. And that's my GOAT now. So it should be expected. I understand how invaluable he is from a leadership standpoint. I understand how invaluable he is in terms of, you know, the communication on the defense. But you got to improve that position in order for this defense to take the next step. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go out to Zion in Surrey. What's up, Zion?
Yeah, man. The problem we have, number one, in the trenches, we are too small. We lack
size and girth, man. We got to get at least 8 of them on our active roster to keep a constant rotation of big fat boys. You need 3 of them on the field at all times. And when I'm talking fat boys, I need 340 pounds, like Vita Vea and big Javante Sweat and them boys, man. We got to clog that middle of the field up because that's going to shut down the run game. And also, we need those same big girthy men on our offensive line, man. So that way we can have some holes for our running backs. Look at Philly, how they're built. They got built with size, big gargantuan dudes in the trenches. And once we do that, we instantly Super Bowl champions. I guarantee it because the skill positions are good enough. We got a great quarterback. He's shown it. He's making miracles happen, turning water into wine because he ain't got time. We need some big gargantuan dudes. And we do that, there's no stopping us.
Zion, I appreciate your call as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067. I'm gonna say something that's gonna be unpopular with you all. I think John and Duron. This is dangerous. I think John and Duron played better than what they are giving credit for this year. Can we agree on that? I understand the productivity is not there from a pass rushing standpoint. But I know this isn't an excuse, or this is going to sound like an excuse. They were double teamed a lot. And for those guys to be double teamed at the rate that they were, and other guys got to step up and make plays. I'm not trying to excuse them. Because here's the thing. When you are the highest paid defensive tackle duo in the NFL, there are expectations with that. Jalen Carter gets double teamed, doesn't stop him from making plays. Dexter Lawrence gets double-teamed, doesn't stop him from making plays. So John and Duron must be better. I thought John post-injury was much better than what he was before the injury. And you saw it in Philadelphia. He made a couple of splash plays. Man, I think the issue with the run defense falls as much on the linebackers in the ends as it does on the D-tackles. Let me just be real. And I'm not trying to dunk on Bobby, so chill on me. But, man, if you're watching this thing objectively, there were times where Bobby hurt this defense with his lack of speed and the ability to scrape over the top. He missed tackles at times, too. He's got to be better. But the question is, how much can you really rely on him to be better? He's 40. I don't know exactly how old Bobby is. He's somewhere in his mid-30s, but you get what I'm saying. He's a little bit long in the tooth. Father Time is undefeated. He got one loss. And that's to LeBron James. Wes is in Orange. What's up, Wes?
Hey, my man. What's going on, brother?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Hey, first of all, I'd like to say, man, I love your show, and I love how you just keep it real.
Appreciate you, man.
Now, what I want to say about the defense is I don't know how much blame to give, you know, Witt. I mean, we don't know because, you know, they played horrible against Philadelphia. Let's face it, man. I mean, anybody that has 4 fumbles, how in the hell do you expect the defense to, you know, keep up with that? As far as Deron Payne and Allen go, come on, man. Mono, I know they get double-teamed, but like you said about Carter and them, man, they keeping it real. They going there mono, and they beating somebody's ass. So with that being said, you know, you can say what we want about Joe Witt and the talent that we have on defense. JD5, you know, definitely kept us in this season. But 28 other teams were sitting at home watching us play that game. So that's all I got to say, brother, and I appreciate you, and take it easy.
Yes, indeed. 1-800-636-1067. Coming up at about 8:20, we'll go live out to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Our pal Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network is going to join us. He'll give us some of the standouts from day 2 of practice and some defensive ends and defensive tackles that Washington could be potentially looking at as they try desperately to upgrade this defense coming up here this offseason. All that and more next here on The Fan.